Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome into the Action Network Podcast, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. We are back for another NFL Draft betting update episode. We were last here 3 weeks ago, I believe, to the date, and a lot has changed since. Your host today, Brendan Glasheen, joined by Travis Reed, who contributes to us here at Action Network, Evan Abrams, our director of research and media. And we'll introduce our newest guest to the podcast in just a second. Also a new contributor who's going to help us out during the NFL draft buildup here at Action Network. For those that missed the initial episode, great do or don'ts kind of episode, breaking down what news you should be paying attention to, which a lot has changed since then. Not overreacting too much to the tea leaves, understanding that a lot of this is smoke leading up to April, and who to believe, who not to believe, what not to believe. So a lot's changed with free agency underway after the middle of March. It's not over yet, but a lot has happened since. Quarterbacks have been on the move. The running back committee that united during the season and said, we need to get paid. Well, some did. Some got long-term deals. Some got prove-it deals. One year, go prove it, and then come back and maybe we'll give you some more. So the draft is set for April 25th in Detroit. We're going to look at markets as well as first position markets, potentially the free agency fallout and how it might impact. Okay, let's welcome in our newest guest to the podcast first. Let's say hi to Jacob Wayne, new contributor here at Action Network. Jacob, hello. And where are you at this point in your NFL draft research?
How's it going, man? Excited to be here. Yeah, just a lot of fallout from free agency, a lot of big moves across the league that are going to shake up the way we're seeing the top of the draft order. And a lot of the fallout is affecting what we're seeing in the first position markets for teams, affecting the odds for what position they're going to grab number one. And get into some more specifics with that, but that's kind of where my head's at the moment.
Okay, latest development from Travis Reed relates to the quarterback market. And Travis, we hit on this as we got ready for the show today. When you look now at the top 15, 16 teams in the draft order, nothing has changed as far as who owns what picks as of right now. But with what's transpired here in free agency, especially quarterbacks, and when we say free agency, trades have also gone down in this free agent period. What jumps out to you most, Travis, especially in the quarterback market?
Well, the big one is Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, which opens up some room in Minnesota. They signed Sam Darnold, but I don't think anyone thinks he's anything more than a stopgap. And then Minnesota does a pick swap with Houston, which looks like they're building up some draft ammo to maybe move forward in the draft, which could blow up a lot of mock drafts, depending on where they move up to. Do they move up to 3, 4, 5, somewhere up there to try to get? And then which quarterback are they even moving up for? A lot of people presume it's McCarthy after the first three, but maybe, you know, they make a big swing and move up to, you know, like I said, third, and try to get Drake May, and New England just moves back. But a lot of moving parts there. But Minnesota was kind of the team that was left out as far as who got a quarterback. So they're going to be the team to watch going forward that can affect a lot of these draft markets.
I don't see one myself. Maybe Evan can speak to this. a market available for the potential of what position Minnesota drafts with their first selection, should they move up from 11, if maybe they let JJ McCarthy fall to 11, or with the Josh McCown and Drake May connection from their high school days in Charlotte, maybe that there's incent for Minnesota to move into the top five, Evan.
Yeah, the board I'm looking at, ironically enough, Minnesota doesn't have that prop up. Maybe someone else has it. I have that prop up for which position for like 100 different teams and not Minnesota, probably on purpose. But to answer your question on what I'm looking at right now, and Travis, I think, hit on this. So Minnesota now having the multiple picks at the top, I think, allows them the availability to move up into slots and take people maybe we didn't think before, or maybe we should be focusing a little bit on who they like and who they may, might target as a way to make money. The other thing is pro days, USC, Michigan, a few things like that. I'll be looking for notes just to see if there's anything that pops out. And I think it was brought up as well before McCarthy right now. EDP was about the 18 range when we started, now down to 8. So I think trying to figure out where he might land, and neighbors. A lot of smoke, a lot of mirrors in terms of, you know, do some teams like him over Harrison? Is there value? I see 8-to-1s, 9-to-1s, 7-to-1s on him being the first non-skill player, then receiver, different ways to bet that. But to me, March 18th, those are kind of the storylines.
Yeah, surfing the market a bit here, seeing the team to draft Michael Penix Jr., the favorite right now is Minnesota, around plus 400. so that's interesting. But should they move up? Does Penix become a top five pick? Maybe after that semifinal game, that was a lot of the attention, a lot of the discussion after the first couple of days of that first college football semifinal game before the championship game, of course, when he got exposed against Michigan. So Jacob, we did kind of the Evan Abrams, Travis Reed, do's, don'ts, what's smoke, what isn't smoke. You hit on this. So using free agency as a starting point, but your first reaction to the fallout is to look at first position markets. So expand on that. What exactly are you targeting as a result of some of the news that's come out?
Yeah, so some good examples. I'll start with the Jets. So they signed Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses to one-year contracts, kind of setting in some, at least for this season, starting tackles where they really needed them badly. Everyone had been penciling in the Jets to take a tackle at number 10. Now, all of a sudden, Brock Bowers, a heavy favorite to go to the Jets now. I saw around plus 150 at one shop. So that is definitely going to impact their positional decision-making at that pick. Not to say they can't take a tackle now, but more flexibility there. Another one I found interesting, we saw some heavy reaction to the Calvin Ridley signing with the Titans. They're now heavy favorites to take an offensive lineman. Potentially Joe Alt in that spot is a name that I think is the most likely. And then the Jaguars are still around even money at some shops to take a cornerback, but I'd be looking at them as a potential wide receiver team. Still have Christian Kirk, of course, signed Gabe Davis in free agency, but I still think they could use another receiver. Brian Thomas is a name that I'd be looking at for them. And then one more I'll shout out is the Chargers. Obviously, you guys talked about the Vikings potential to trade up. Definitely potential to do that at number 5. So one thing I'll shout out is make sure you're paying attention to the language of these betting markets when you're looking at, for example, you could see player to be selected at number 5 versus player to be selected by the Chargers. Those are two different things, because if the Chargers trade down, obviously, somebody else will be picking at number 5. But we're seeing now Malik Nabers is the heavy favorite to be the number 5 pick to the Chargers. Obviously, no more Keenan Allen. Mike Williams got cut, could still be coming back, but definitely need a long-term receiver option in LA, and Nabers likely the best option for them at number 5 there.
Okay. So I'm glad you brought up that the quarterbacks get the attention, rightfully so. So looking at the top of the draft, Bears, Commanders, Patriots, then there appears to be a drop-off, because at 4 and 5, you've got two teams, Rondale Moore on the move to Atlanta, Desmond Ridder goes the other way, heading to Arizona to back up Kyler Murray, we think. And then with the Chargers, they have their quarterback, they have their head coach. Greg Roman's the offensive coordinator now, who was out of the league last year, was in Baltimore a few years back now, and he was the offensive coordinator who installed that whole new system for Lamar Jackson, and they built it around Lamar, and Greg Roman was his binky to just make it work. And then, of course, they went in a different direction with Monken now, and there's more of a passing attack, and then they didn't run the ball in the playoffs. But that's an aside. But I bring, so you guys are talking neighbors here, and Travis, you brought this up too, but what about the possibility? And this is just someone who's consuming news and trying to make sense of it all. Does Jim Harbaugh have a soft spot for a guy that played in his conference like Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is there a possibility that Marvin Harrison Jr. is in limbo at three? Or is there an angle for the Chargers and or the Cardinals to go up and get the Ohio State Buckeye at receiver?
It's possible for sure. Like, as early as it is, everything's on the board. I think right now with a lot of the neighbors smoke is it's just that we get kind of bored of just having Marvin Harrison at the top of the wide receiver list all off season. And so people are like, well, what if it was this guy? What if it was this guy? But I'm still not buying it yet. I still think he's going to be the first one. Now the question becomes, if we do have that trade up, you know, like say Minnesota comes up to four, you know, obviously he would be a smash pick, I think, at five for the Chargers. Like you said, they just lost their two receivers. There's not much there. So I have a hard time believing that he's not the first non-quarterback selected still. No, whether that's at three, four, five, six, it doesn't matter. I think after the run of quarterbacks, I'd be pretty surprised if he's not the first guy off the board.
Right now, Harrison's about 7-1 to go fifth, which honestly I think is interesting considering the fact that he's -230 to go fourth. And we talk about who's at fourth and who's at fifth as like a big way to have the conversation, right? So the language on that, kind of would like that 7-1 on the fifth pick, considering if Minnesota or someone else does come up and Harrison is still number one, he could be fifth overall and still, you know what I mean? Does that make sense to everyone?
Yep.
I'm glad you brought up the Marvin Harrison, the Chargers thing, because we're seeing now, like, the Vikings are around even money to be the team that gets McCarthy. And that would probably be a trade up to four or five. But that if they move up to four, the Chargers could be absolutely living life if Marvin Harrison falls to them at five. So that's the best case scenario for them. I definitely think a flyer on 7-1 odds there makes a lot of sense.
And we saw with this new regime last year in Arizona, they were willing to trade down with a high pick last year. So I would not be shocked to see them do that again. And just stockpile picks to try to rebuild that roster around Kyler.
There's a mystery behind what Minnesota wants to do based on where they're currently at 11. Travis mentioned the pick swap. So they've got 11 and 23, and they're the favorite to land Penix and J.J. McCarthy, and they have Sam Darnold already in the mix. And Kevin O'Connell proved last year it could be Josh Dobbs at quarterback. It could be whoever it is. He made it work, and he came out looking pretty good in that situation. We reference Daniel Jeremiah quite a bit. He works for the league, and he breaks down numbers draft-wise, and he's hearing a lot of things, and it changes by week. And it's really the same kind of language, the same jargon this time of year from Jeremiah. But how about Denver? Denver, in their situation at quarterback, at number 12, where are we at with Denver? And maybe could they leapfrog a Minnesota and be sort of a sleeper team, Jacob, to shake things up and maybe disrupt the plans of the Vikings?
Yeah, I don't see them being too aggressive. I think if anything, a trade down potentially. The roster's pretty barren out in Denver right now. And obviously they have the dead cap situation with Russell Wilson paying him like $50 million this year to not play for the team, which is wild. But they have a lot of work to do before they can start their clock on a rookie contract, I think. So I'd be surprised if they get aggressive with a move up. Maybe if McCarthy fell to them at 12, they'd be interested. But I don't think they're going to be pushing it too hard in this draft. I think they're going to be looking to fill in on the defensive line or offensive line, be kind of bland in this one.
The reporting right now out of Denver is that the team is leaning to Jarrett Stidham as their number one quarterback until a rookie can start as of now. And maybe Sean Payton wants to restock and really reload at other positions. They traded Jerry Jeudy. Who knows what happens with Sutton, possibly, if he becomes available. So they've got a lot of work to do in Denver. So they might take the slow build approach. Go ahead.
They're also the favorite right now to draft Bo Nix. So that could be a second round pick for them. Maybe they take Bo Nix in the second and see if they have anything there.
So the meat and potatoes of these episodes is what can viewers, listeners, bet now? And what available markets, whether it be first position or a certain player to go to a certain team. We mentioned the Marvin Harrison look at number five at +700 is a possibility, or 8-1. Shop around to find the best number. What Travis, are you inclining on doing now, possibly?
Yeah, I really like the Ravens to draft a receiver. You can see that at +575. They just cut Odell Beckham right now. It's I mean, Nelson Agholor, Bateman, Zay Flowers, that's their right wide receivers. So they definitely need some help there. And there's a lot of guys in that late first round that could fit. They could go Ladd McConkey. They could go A.D. Mitchell. There's a bunch of guys in that range that they could plug in. So I think that's a good position of need for them. And this is a great draft a receiver. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And I think it's a pretty good price there.
Evan, anything from you? Another team I'm fascinated by, and we should hit on some more of the news. You guys hit on Kirk Cousins off the top going to Atlanta. The Falcons in the first round are drafting 8th overall. Pittsburgh made news, of course, by moving on from Kenny Pickett. They sign Russell Wilson. They bring in Justin Fields. Pittsburgh is at 20. With those tea leaves falling, any indication on what position Pittsburgh is eyeing at 20? And they also did some work shoring up their back end defensively.
I mean, I'd say a 20 offensive line and wide receiver feel like the areas they're most likely
traded Deontay Johnson. Yep.
Yeah, probably fill in there. The one thing I'm waiting for, and obviously it depends on the book, is just more player to team odds connections. Because, you know, if you're liking the idea of Pittsburgh potentially taking a wide receiver at that 20 spot, trying to figure out which one and match it up. Like if you look at a book right now, Marvin Harrison to go to the Chargers is 300, but yet he's 7-1 to go to the 5th pick. So like different ways to attack the market is probably the way I would look at it. I was just looking, but I see plus 750 on that Ravens wide receiver. I think that's a good bet. That both that and the Harrison bets would be something I would get in right now. Listen, 7-1s are 7-1s, but I feel like that's something that probably should be shorter.
Jacob, anything you're doing right now based on news?
Yeah, I'll say on the Ravens thing, I don't mind a flyer there. One thing I'm very interested to see how it plays out in this draft is it feels like after that top three at wide receiver, you get into a group of guys that are very similarly tiered. So I'm curious if teams are going to push it off to day two at wide receiver and say, yeah, we can get this guy in round one. Like we can get Brian Thomas in round one, but you know, we can wait until day two and get a pretty similarly tiered player. So curious to see how that plays out. One that I like right now though, is the Chiefs. You can get around plus 260, plus 270 on them to take an offensive lineman with their first pick. That O-line had some issues last year, and there's even been some rumors that they want to move Creed Humphrey away from center, put him at guard potentially. So we'll see if that materializes, but they went out and got Marquise Brown in free agency, filling a clear need at receiver. So now you have Brown and you have Rashee Rice. And like I just talked about at the wide receiver position, I don't know that they need to rush a pick in round one at receiver. Offensive line, I think, is just as likely to be taken. And if you can get over 2-1 odds on that, I think that's a pretty good value.
Okay. Want to hit we really haven't hit the chatter that makes national media, mainstream media headlines. And Jacob, your temperature of the number two and number three picks with the constant flip-flopping, it seems like there's more of a sure chance now based on the line movement that Jaden Daniels is going to go 2 and Drake May 3. Based on those two situations with Howell now in Seattle, the new regime with Dan Quinn, they've got their eyes on Daniels, and with the Patriots and Alex Van Pelt, Jacoby Brissett was his quarterback in Cleveland at points last year. Then they went and got Flacco, of course, and then Drake May make sense to New England? Where are you at on the Daniels May flip-flopping at the top? Because folks that want to bet the draft, and we did this in the first episode, so go back and listen if you missed it, we hit on what to hold off on and maybe what to take a shot on now. It's constant news jams over and over.
Yeah, I mean, the market's definitely backing Daniels to go number two. He's as low as minus 180 at some shops right now. I'm not buying it. I still think Drake May is QB2 in this class. I think a lot of people made the connection with Marcus Mariota signing in Washington. Like, oh, they're going to take a mobile quarterback because they got Mariota. And I'm not really buying that too much. And like Drake May is plenty mobile, too, to his credit. But he's 2 years younger. He's not the type of injury risk that I think Daniels could turn into. And a lot of people are freaking out because May's tape wasn't as clean last year, but they had a big drop off in offensive line play, wide receiver play. Their top receiver, Tez Walker, didn't even play until halfway through the season. He was dealing with eligibility issues.
Yep.
Yeah, so I still think it's Drake May. I'm curious to see after his pro day, which is coming up next week, I believe, if that shifts at all. But I think the value has to be on May at this point in time.
How about you two? Anything developing thoughts on Caleb Williams is going to go one. Fields is out. It's Williams one seems sure thing. Two and three. May, Daniels, Daniels, May.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with Jacob that I'll probably just take the plus money on whichever one because I think it's pretty close. I think earlier, if the best way to play is to take, you know, Jaden Daniels at plus money at two earlier and then now take May at plus money and then just have a profit. So I think you can do that right now. And then we might flip-flop again. It will not shock me at all. Like after we have a pro day or something like that, we saw Zach Wilson go nuts after a pro day because he looked great in shorts. So, you know, a lot of these markets are just going to go haywire just because we have so little information that anything that hits the TV screen, people are going to go nuts. So, I agree. Take the plus money now and then see what happens with the market later. And you can always flip your position.
Evan, anything on that?
I think it's going to be Daniels. I mean, I could take plus money, minus money, do whatever. I think he's going to end up being the pick as long as it's Washington at two. I would have more fun, honestly, in trying to do a little bit of research and find the best odds to just try to project to see if anybody would trade into those slots. We're just getting into like a state of the league where people are making very vast decisions and big moves to try to do things. So I'm just trying to figure out maybe there's a fly. I'm waiting to see if maybe like a market would show up on like what team drafts either Daniels or May. I don't know if I've seen that in different places, but you know, obviously staying in that slot, but it not being Washington or what's the team I'm missing? New England would be interesting.
Okay, well, right, Washington, yes. Washington, then New England, and then if we get on the Chargers and Cardinals situations at wide receiver and what they may do. So let's circle back for a second. So this all stems from the latest big piece of reporting from Daniel Jeremiah is there's a strong expectation around the NFL four quarterbacks are going to go in the top six. So if Minnesota, so Bears, Commanders, Patriots, if they stay where they are, Williams, Daniels, May, or Williams, May, Daniels. Where's that fourth one coming in? We hit on J.J. McCarthy as a favorite to go to Minnesota. But in that market, just to share again, Minnesota, the favorite to land J.J. McCarthy at minus 115. Is there a betting opportunity here on who drafts McCarthy outside of the Vikings if the Vikings move up and then they possibly go get May? For example, Jacob.
Yeah, there's been a lot of buzz around the Giants for J.J. McCarthy at number six.
That too, because they're not sure on Daniel Jones. Right.
Right. And I could see that being a situation where they draft McCarthy, let him sit for a year behind Daniel Jones, and then bring him in. Potentially a quarterback who needs a little bit more time, a little bit more of an unpolished passer. But you're seeing right now around plus 170 odds on the Giants to take a quarterback with their first pick. So potential flyer there. Yeah, I think the Giants
that
could be
fits, impressed. Right? So just to list the odds, and I don't mean to cut you off, just to kind of tie it in a bow here. Vikings minus 115, the Giants at plus 350 are the next favorite to land J.J. McCarthy. Well, that lines up with Jeremiah's reporting. If the Giants are at six and they take a quarterback and the first three that we listed, Williams, Daniels, May, whichever order, more so those second and third guys, that aligns.
Yeah, could definitely see that be the case. I think the Vikings trading up for May is still very much in play. I think everybody just assumes they're going to get McCarthy, but if the Commanders go with Jaden Daniels at number two and the Patriots are staring down Drake May at three, could see them with their situation right now. No GMs hired still. Definitely a team entering a rebuilding period. Like, could see them being interested in a trade down if the Vikings are willing to offer a pretty hefty package there.
Okay. Travis, any follow-up thoughts on the J.J. McCarthy? So Minnesota, the favorite, Giants next. Then there's a drop-off to the Broncos at plus 430, Patriots at plus 900, which would reflect the Patriots trading down from three. I think, unless there's no shot J.J. McCarthy's going number three overall, I don't think.
Yeah, the other way to play it is just to say, okay, maybe this is Will Levis all over again. And, you get all this hype, like, oh, he might go second overall, and then draft day shows up and it's, 20th pick and he's still on the board. So I do think you can play it that way and maybe go with one of these like later teams at a really long odds if you're, trying to get some action that way. Although probably the smarter way to do that would just be to bet like the under on quarterbacks in the first round if you think that's the way it's going to go. But I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities at all. Like I said, we've seen it a few years in a row now where, you know, quarterbacks just get hyped up and then draft day comes and they're just sitting there in the waiting room, you know, putting mayo in their coffee like a sicko. So we'll see if it happens again this year.
Evan, you were nodding in agreement on this thought that maybe there's a possibility here for J.J. McCarthy to be linked to similarities of Will Levis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just always looking for the opportunity to try to find a long shot or something of that nature, at least to take a position. So I inherently looked down the board and kind of had my eyes on like the Seahawks or Raiders. If he falls, those are teams that obviously need quarterbacks. Now, Seattle needs a whole bunch of stuff, and so do the Raiders, and I'd probably recommend them doing other things. But at like 20-1 on the Raiders and at like 40-1 the Seahawks, I think it still is an interesting position because I'm not a believer in McCarthy. I'm a Giants fan. I would not want them doing that at six. I think you have other things to be doing. Other than that, you've made the mistake in Jones, like wait it out for a year and figure it out. McCarthy's not the answer. But I kind of like the idea of not the quarter, 4.5 quarterbacks first round that Travis was talking about, but I do still think McCarthy could go first round, but yet the buzz about him going like top 6 or 7 may not hold up, if that makes sense. So I was kind of looking in that 13 to 16 range. Those are the two teams that kind of popped up for me, at least initially.
This podcast is proudly presented by BetMGM. Use bonus code ACTION when signing up to get up to $158 in bonus bets when you bet $5. For new users in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Quick heads up, the great state of North Carolina has just launched legal sports betting. So if you're in the Tar Heel state, take advantage of the best sign-up offers across every sports book. A link to every one of those offers can be found in this episode description. So if you're in North Carolina, check out that link in the episode description.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Jacob had mentioned the murkiness around the Patriots. Elliot Wolf, allegedly, not the Crafts, Elliot Wolf is going to make the final call on what they do at 3. Where are you at on New England definitely staying at 3, or is there a high, are you thinking that's a high chance they move from 3 and move down?
I think it's very possible. Yeah. Especially with the Vikings clearly looking to trade up. If I'm the Vikings though, like Evan talked about the J.J. McCarthy situation, like I'm a Michigan fan, so I like J.J. McCarthy, but if I'm the Vikings, like, am I really trading up aggressively to get the 4th quarterback in this class? Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. There's a chance the Vikings have Drake May as their QB1, by the way. Like, I think there are teams that still have Drake May that high. And if they're one of them, they're going to offer a pretty nice penny to move up to 3 with the Patriots and get him there.
Yeah, I think the Patriots could move out. They could take a quarterback there. They could also just say, you know what, we'll just take Marvin Harrison at three and figure out our quarterback later. We'll just roll with Brissett this year and see what comes, you know, in free agency or the draft in next year's or 2 years.
I will make mention that Michael Owenu, there was reporting from, I think it was Ian Rappaport this morning, that Owenu, who signed the new 3-year, $57 million deal, excuse me, he is going to be the starting right tackle going forward. Not left tackle, right tackle, which would maybe mean the quarterback would be left-handed. Michael Penix, just throwing that out there. If you're going to, I mean, they're not investing. They didn't go after Tyron Smith. That was the big left tackle name out there. They could draft tackle, move down, trade three, get a bunch of assets and take tackle around, maybe take the Vikings 11th pick. If Minnesota's the trade partner and go tackle and then go quarterback, whether it be, I don't know, McCarthy, Penix, someone who falls, or a Bo Nix second round. But maybe Penix is interesting because he, by moving Owenu to right tackle, you want to clear the way on the blind side of a left-handed quarterback, Jacob?
Yeah, potentially. I wouldn't read too much into the right-handedness aspect.
Who's going to play left tackle?
I
don't know.
I'm not. I don't have their depth chart right in front of
me. It's okay.
That was more of
a rhetorical question. Like I don't know either. Go ahead.
Interesting though on Penix is the Seahawks are around 4-1 to draft him. They hired his former offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb is the new OC out in Seattle under their new head coach Mike McDonald. So if he likes Penix and wants to work with him again, I could see that being a potential link there.
Okay.
I like that. I see it 8-1 too. So I like that even better.
There you go.
Michael Penix to Seattle at number 16.
That's okay. It.
Sam Howell's there now, and maybe they want to give Geno another shot. But with a new OC in Seattle, do they lose patience and want to give new coach, new coaching staff as well? Never mind the new offensive coordinator, but do they want to give an opportunity to see what they have? Shane Waldron's now in Chicago, left Seattle, whole new staff. Do they want to say, well, hey, we'll see what we have out of Geno and maybe have someone like a Penix and a Howell compete for the number two, and then they go in that direction. So, all right, fellas, last thing, we'll leave on this. I'll go around the horn from each of you. What are we waiting for now? What's on March 18th as we record? What can we expect next from the news based on your histories of this time of year? We're about a month out from the draft. What news are we waiting for now? And when we get X news, Jacob, what might we be hopping on possibly?
Yeah, pro days. I think we're going to see a lot of potential shakeup with quarterback coming out of these pro days. We saw it last year with a lot of buzz around Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. I think some opinions will be formed based on these guys' pro days, especially Drake May didn't really test at the combine. So excited to see how he fares at that one. But once we start to get more of a feel of where teams see these quarterbacks, can start to pencil in these top picks a little bit more.
Travis, anything pro days, anything that you're kind of eyeing news wise that might make you think and want to glean another market that's out there?
I mean, news wise, that Minnesota trade, that would be the big one.
Yeah.
Once that goes through, that's going to answer a lot of questions. And if there isn't a trade, that also answers a lot of questions. So if they do just sit there at 11 and 23, I think it was, you know, that helps paint the picture of those top 5-6 picks, and that kind of everything flows from there. So whether or not, you know, this was kind of a smokescreen or they are, you know, building up that ammo to move up, that's going to tell us a lot about how those top 5 picks go, which is going to make it a lot easier on the betting markets of, okay, now we can at least have an idea of how this is going to go down.
So a similar comp to what the Vikings might do is what the Dolphins and the Niners did in 2021, which allowed the Niners to move up to 3, take Trey Lance, and then the Dolphins move back, and that changed how things went. The Patriots settled with Mac Jones. Justin Fields went to the Bears at the time, and 3 quarterbacks went with the first 3 picks as a result. Now, we think with the 3 teams currently as constructed in the draft order, still very well could be 3 quarterbacks. The question is, does New England move out of 3 and suffer and change their direction and suffer for the short term but build long term because they just have so many holes? Evan, anything to add on that before we go as far as what you might be waiting for? And by the way, that deal with the Dolphins and the Niners 3 years ago, that went down just before the start of April. March 29th was the date that trade went official.
We nailed a few of it, but I'll just roll through some like things I'm looking at right now. So more betting markets as we get closer to the draft, yes. Keeping track of the new ones that pop up. I'll even say this, it's kind of EDP season when you're looking at all different types of mock drafts. So just tracking ups and downs and some stock reports are important in tracking those odds. Pro days, humongous, USC, Michigan this week. Wait for your Zach Wilson throw and the different things that'll move the market. And free agency, in my opinion, you know, you're going to have some stragglers kind of come in. So it's interesting to find out like who goes where and tracking that a little bit. And the last one is just a good example would be, and I'm going to screw up pronouncing this guy's name, but Talis Fuaga. Like people like that, he's kind of moving up boards. He's up like six or seven slots in the last few EDPs. So trying to figure out who is moving up boards kind of helps shape some things. So that would be my advice.
Are you both, all three of you, on the edge of your seats with the S2 cognition tests? are we eyeing any of that when the test day is? No?
Can't wait.
Or did CJ Stroud put that argument to bed, possibly?
Yeah, clearly didn't matter for Stroud last year, so.
Yeah,
I think we can kill that narrative.
Every player is its own entity, its own example, but that did get, that made some news. But
I need more data on hand-sized data. That's what we need more of.
Yeah. All righty. Yeah. I mean, still not a lot available as far as markets and those first position markets. So as they come out, we should have more. We're going to be here. If you're listening now, of course, we're going to be here every Monday going forward, leading up to the NFL draft, which goes down in Detroit April 25th. So still more than a month away. So to start your week, we hope you can join us. And Jacob Wayne, welcome to the team. Thanks so much for stopping by and providing your analysis.
Thanks, man. Thank you for having me.
All right. I'm sure we'll hear from Jacob again as we near draft day and when we put out more NFL draft betting previews here coming up. Evan Abrams, Travis Reed, they'll be here every week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back next Monday, March 25th. For Evan, Travis, and Jacob, Brendan Glasheen, tons more coming on the NFL Draft. New episode out every Monday afternoon starting today. So be sure to join us. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We also have the video version up on the Action Network YouTube page. So hit the subscribe button there and also like the video. Leave a comment if you are so inclined. Thanks for listening to the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. We will talk to you again next week.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.